the warriors pledged the area of Arinder stood on the point of war. Its borders were scarred by battles fought under blood-red skies, and whispers of rebellion grew louder with each passing day. Euthyvan, a fierce legionnaire and the area's most trusted commander, carried the weight of his people's fate on broad shoulders. His heart, still, belonged to a secret no-bone. New, Leora, the healer whose gentle hands had mended both bodies and spirits. Their love was a fragile honey amid the chaos, a stolen solace between the whang of brands and the cries of the wounded. One evening, as the sun dipped beneath the distant hills, Euthyvan pledged to cover Leora and their love, no matter the cost. Battles and bond to battleground was a place where time sounded to stretch and collapse all it formerly. Euthyvan moved with the perfection of a seasoned legionnaire, his brand cutting through the chaos. Yet, indeed amidst the colliding of sword and cries of men, his studies returned to Leora. Her touch, her smile, the stopgap she represented. Leora worked lifelessly in the field sanitarium, tending to the injured with unwavering compassion. The horrors of war etched deep lines on her face, but her spirit remained unbroken. Their secret meetings grew unsafe, hidden in the murk of ruined townlets and rumored beneath the robe of night. One night, after a narrow palm, Euthyvan set up Leora staying beneath a lone oak tree. "I sweat what hereafter brings," she rumored. "Also we fight for moment," he replied, pulling her close. But the war was grim, and their love would be tested in ways neither could provision the price of love. The war dragged on, the field soaked with the dreams and blood of innumerous souls. Euthyvan's palms came legends rumored among the sick, but with each triumph came lesser immolation. Leora's mending hands quivered as the injuries grew too numerous, the stopgap in her eyes fluttering like a dying honey. Their stolen moments came transitory. Encounter fritters before dawn, a rumored pledge amidst the chaos. One cataclysmal day, Euthyvan was gravely wounded in battle, carried back to camp. He set up Leora staying, gashes tracing silent paths down her cheeks. "I'll not leave you," she pledged. But fate was cruel. Despite her sweats, Euthyvan's injuries were beyond mending. As he lay beneath the cover of stars, he rumored, "Our love was worth every moment." Leora held him near, her heart breaking yet filled with the memory of a love that transcended war and death. Though the area mourned its departed idol, the story of Euthyvan and Leora endured, a testament that indeed in the darkest times, love becks. Brightest. Rain fell on the battleground the morning after Euthyvan's death, as if to welcome themselves mourned the end of Arinder's topmost legionnaire. The men and women who followed him into a numerous battle stood in stupefied silence, eyes cast over, hands gripped around brand bars and torn banners. His body, wrapped in linen and placed upon a barrow of cedarwood, lay still beneath a cloak of white blossoms that Leora had scattered with pulsing fritters. The burial was held in a ruined tabernacle at Eldhame's edge, a place of old gods and age pledges. Leora stood piecemeal from the others, her healer's blankets soaked through with rain and blood. Her face bore no gashes, only the pale, stilled expression of someone who had given all they had and set up nothing left. As the deers took Euthyvan's body, creaking into the darkening sky, Leora rumored an ancient prayer, not to the gods of war, but to the quiet gods of memory, of mending, of love that defies time. Let him be further than legend. Let him be flashed back in the hearts of those he saved. The aftermath of the war didn't end with Euthyvan's death. However, his absence burned a fiercer resoluteness among his adversaries, if anything. Arinder's generals, fractured and hopeless, quibbled over command. The people, formerly unified under Euthyvan's banner, began to lose stopgap. Rebellion brewed in the west, and foreign powers circled like carnage crows. But Leora didn't flee. She remained in the field hospitals, leading the scattered healers who remained. Though she demanded command over armies, her presence alone held a certain authority. Wounded dog faces cleaved to her words, her hands, her memory of Euthyvan. One day, while walking the smoldering remains of a vill near the Blackridge border, Leora set up a child, no age than 6, buried beneath a ray. The boy clung to life, half-conscious, brooding commodity over and over the man with the captain on his guard. "He saved us." Leora knelt, brushing his hair back, her heart tightening. "You saw him?" The boy jounced weakly. He told us to run. He stayed before. She had heard these stories again and again, how Euthyphron's last stage had turned adrift in the east, giving others time to escape. He'd come further than a man. He was a myth in the timber. The gathering storm word reached her of a final obnoxious plan by the revolutionary Lord Carvail, a man Euthyphron formerly spared. Times are gone. In a dogfight at the Sanguine Swash, Carvail had always abominated Euthyphron, yet stressed him. With Euthyphron gone, he now marched with immunity, gathering mercenaries, black sail lines, and cursed munitions. Leora sat by night in her roof that evening, hands folded over a sealed letter Euthyphron had left before with his assistant. It bore her name in his handwriting. She hadn't opened it. Not yet. Outdoors, the wind howled across the plain. When she eventually broke the seal, his words felt like a ghost's breath. Leora, if you read this, it means the stars I fought beneath now look down upon you alone. I no way stress death, only leaving you before. But if there's breath in your lungs, there's still hope for a render. I ask only one thing of you, do and let my death be the end of what we believed in. You're stronger than you know. You're the last light this area has. I love you. Always. Euthyphron. Rise of the Healer. When the Council of War met in the shattered gravestone upkeep of Velmarch, chaos ruled the chamber. Arguments broke out. Fists slammed on tables. Maps torn in half. The generals wanted retreat. The patricians demanded rendition. Leora entered unannounced. The room fell silent. We do an answer to healers, one lord sniggered. No, she said, voice calm but unwavering. You answer to the people you swore to cover. And they're dying. She walked to the war table, spread out a new chart, one she had drawn herself, marking safe zones, exile paths, recusant movements. Euthyphron tutored me that war isn't won by brands alone. It's won by hearts. Still, also I will if you ain't lead. And they followed her, some out of guilt, some out of reverence for Euthyphron, utmost because they saw in her commodity rare conviction. Under her guidance, defenses were rebuilt. Civilians vacated with effectiveness. A resistance formed, not just dogfaces, but growers, blacksmiths, preceptors, all united under a new banner, a white rose over a field of red. The Rose Legion, they called themselves. And Leora, formerly a simple healer, came their heart. The last battle, it came to pass that the final battle took place in the Valley of Hollow Echoes, so named because the winds there carried the cries of the dead. Carvail's forces poured in from the north, a black drift of sword and fire. Leora stood at the frontal lines, garbed not in armor, but in a cloak bearing Euthyphron's sigil. Beside her stood soldiers who had formerly fought under his command. The wind dragged at her hair as she raised her voice. This veil has seen too important blood. Moment, we fight not to conquer, but to cover. We fight for the living, for those who cannot fight, for the love we carry. And so they charged. The battle raged for hours, a bow-wow of riots and sword. Leora moved not as a legionnaire, but a lamp, pulling the wounded to safety, directing strikes where they were most demanded. At the height of the chaos, she came face to face with Carvail. You wear a dead man's cloak, he snarled. I wear his purpose, she said. They fought, her with a staff, him with a blade. And when he overpowered her, drove his brand forward, it struck not her casket, but a tableware order Euthyphron had formerly given her. The blow shattered it, but bought her the moment she demanded. A shaft thrown from before struck Carvail through the reverse, one of Euthyphron's old comrades. The black drift broke. The veil fell silent. The times after peace came sluggishly, like spring after a brutal downtime. Rebuilding took times. Graves outnumbered homes for a time. Leora no way returned to the capital. Rather, she erected a sanctuary in the mounds, a place where healers could train, where war orphans could learn, where stories were saved. At its center stood a statue of Euthyphron, not as a legionnaire, but as he was in their quietest moments, seated, eyes raised to the stars. Each time, on the dust of his death, she lit a lantern and transferred it down the swash with a tale, I flashback. And the area flashback too. Euthyphron came a legend, yes, but also a symbol of love enduring beyond death, of immolation, of honor. And Leora, though she no way took another love, lived a long life not in anguish, but in purpose. Epilogue decades latterly, a youthful girl wandered into the sanctuary theater, where an old woman sat among the roses. "Are you the lady healer?" she asked. "I was," Leora said, smiling. "Is it true you loved the legionnaire who saved the area?" Leora looked up at the sky, where dusk painted the shadows in gold. "Yes, and I still do." The girl sat beside her. "Will you tell me the story?" Leora jounced, her voice soft. "It begins with an area on the point of war, and a love that refused to die.